This is Doc Mike, host of Right on the Left Coast podcast. This is a podcast about homestead living at the Ravenwood Homestead here in Oregon. We share our experiences and discuss topics that may affect living the homestead lifestyle. Hey, this is Doc Mike. Welcome to Right on the Left Coast. Oh my God, stop that. Hey, there's a bear at the falls, man. That's awesome. That's happened a few times lately. Hey, this is Doc Mike. Welcome to Right on the Left Coast Radio. Getting everything going here. Hopefully the word got out that we're going to be live tonight. Seems like it's doing good. I'm trying this again. Live on Rumble, live on Real Liberty Media. So it seemed like it worked out okay last time, like just okay. It was good. It was good enough. Oh, well, looky here. And I have to put my chat room up so I can see. All right, let's do this, man. What a week it has been. well, got to go way back to the top of my notes. Yeah. Hey, if you're on a social media site, please post that we're live on Real Liberty Media or on Rumble, whichever you prefer, or on both. That'd be cool. Just get the word out that we're live doing this show. Tomorrow, I'm telling you, Hal Anthony, you guys got to check him out. He just has the greatest 2 hours packed full of information. I hope he's going to be on tomorrow. There's a little bit of technical issues kind of preventing him from, I don't know, having an easy life, man. I almost feel kind of guilty because everything's going so well here. Knock on wood. Oh, my goodness. There it is. You know, don't want to jinx myself, but just, things are just going well. I kind of think, you know, in some ways, I just think if you prepare well, things go well, mostly go well. And we've been preparing well for many years. It was kind of funny. We were talking about the property here and having these fruit trees and nut trees and bushes and vegetables and stuff. And I had to pause for a minute because somebody asked, "Well, how long have we been getting those things going?" And I was like, "Well, Rochelle and I kind of started getting that orchard going like 20 years ago. It's been like 23 years that we started this little project, and it's paying off, man. It's so good right now to be able to have food actually being produced. We are eating it. Like, we have kale that we go down and eat. Go down and collect and then bring up here and eat. Hang on one sec. Always got to do something right off the bat. Hang on. Okay, back to it. But we have some squash down there, summer squash, and that's awesome. So we go down and we cut some of that up. We grill it on the grill. I was going to share something. I don't think I talked about this in the past couple weeks, but Crystal kind of introduced this new thing. It's a big, solid block of salt that you put on your grill, and then you can actually grill on it. Now, it only takes up about 1/4 of the grill, so you can grill some things on it and still grill on the rest of the grill in the traditional way. It's a good thing because I don't think I'd want everything grilled on the salt block, although the vegetables, when they're grilled on there, they're just perfect. And actually, the meat, too. What is really surprising is I thought it would be, like, excessively salty. Well, number one, it's natural salt, so it hasn't been refined in any way, which I think is good because there's a lot more minerals included in it. And then, and actually, I think because it's a solid block of salt, like, you could throw a steak on there, which we did, and just enough salt kind of gets in the meat or vegetables. Now, I don't mean enough salt according to your doctor, who's going to tell you that you eat too much salt. I personally don't believe that. I mean, there's probably a limit, like everything, you know. Like, do everything in moderation. That's kind of my philosophy, too. Just do everything in moderation, you know. You know, do the good stuff, do the bad stuff, do the mediocre stuff. Just do it all, but, you know, don't overdo any of it. It's hard for me to believe that because, our body is made up of so much, has such a high salt content anyway, that it would be bad to consume too much salt. But, you know, that's the way medicine has gone with all the, you know, all the studies in the past on, you know, well, people that consume too much salt have more heart disease or whatever. And I hope I'm not, you know, encouraging anybody to go out and just start pounding down salt for crying out loud. But I'm just saying, you know. In fact, I don't know how many people could stand too much salt. Although I've seen some people use what I thought was too much salt. But, I mean, who am I to say? I think, you know, however much you want to use it. I'm sure there's, you know, some diets that you could talk about that people eat too much salty food, you know, like, yeah, chips. And, you know, if that's all you're eating, if all you're eating is processed food and salted chips and everything else, salt, 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 yeah, that probably isn't good for you. But I actually, I don't even want to say it probably isn't good for you, because so many of the things that we've learned, you know, throughout my lifetime anyway, is that a lot of the stuff that the medical community tells you is just pure bull. And it's intended for the entire population. Like, in general, let's say, they say, okay, everybody needs to have a cholesterol level of whatever. Everybody needs to have their low-density lipoproteins at a certain level. It's not true. It's just not true. But they apply it to everybody. Just like when I had my heart attack and they put me on those statins, even though I didn't have cholesterol formed in my vessels anywhere. But I still automatically put on statins and automatically put on blood thinners and automatically put on, you know, metoprolol and lisinopril. And it's not an individual treatment. It's a generalized treatment so that doctors don't have to spend a lot of time talking to you. They just put you on the recommended dose of these medicines. Oh, everybody who has a heart attack has to have these three medicines, but there's no justification for it in every single case. But they don't look at it like they didn't even though I have somewhat of a medical background and a scientific background, they didn't even want to talk to me about why am I being put on these things. And I mean, right after you have a heart attack, you're not really in the mood to argue too much. But, you know, after a couple months of kind of looking into that kind of stuff, after my heart attack, I'm like, why in the hell am I on a statin anyway? And how come this one damn drug makes me cough like I'm going to cough myself to death? And sure enough, as soon as I quit taking that one drug, lisinopril, I quit coughing so damn hard. It was ridiculous. Oh, I just saw myself on camera. I just wanted to tell you guys one thing kind of funny, and then I'll go back to that. So right after last week's show, I did last week's show on Saturday, right? And I skipped on Wednesday. There's a couple reasons I skipped Wednesday. One is because Wednesdays are just not the day for me. I really want to get back into it, but I'm having a really hard time because it doesn't matter. But I had two black eyes, and it's kind of funny how I got these black eyes. Number one, I woke up in the middle of the night last Saturday night after the show, and there was so much pollen and dust in the air, I had to get up and go to the bathroom, of course. I'm 65, but you have to wake up and go to the bathroom sometimes. And I woke up, and I sat up in the bed, and I couldn't see. And I tried to open my eyes, and I couldn't open my eyes because they were like glued shut, and they were crusty, like some God-forbidden crust had formed and made my eyelids stick together, so I couldn't open my eyes. So I went to rub my eye, and it was this giant crust, hard crust, and I kind of poked it into my eye. And, of course, being on blood thinners and that tissue being kind of thin anyway, yeah, I gave myself a black eye. And then the other one, one of the dogs pawed me, just being a sweetheart, you know, looking for attention. And I was bending down to get her. At the same time, she reached up and got me right in the eye. So I had two, so I had two black eyes most of the week. It's kind of funny. Anyway, back to the grilling. So we're grilling some chicken. That's why I brought this up. I started to grill at 4 o'clock, I think. Yeah. Oh, no, probably 4:45. And put some chicken on there. I'll eat after the show, but I was using that salt block, and I was like, hey, I haven't talked about this on the show. I probably should, you know. It's just another interesting thing. Now, I don't know. I guess I'm sure that if I Google it, I'll be able to find some salt blocks for grilling. And you should try it, really, if you grill. Anyway, you put the block on there and just let it come up to temperature with the grill. And it can only take like 450 degrees, and then I think it, looks like, and then I think it'll crack or something. So anyway, here, let me get a drink. Oh, and then the other thing is, when you're done grilling on it, this is really kind of slick. You just pour some water on it, or spray it with water, and then use a spatula and scrape it off, and it just scrapes right off. And then you have a brand new surface to use. And yeah, I'm sure after I don't know how many uses, then the block will be no good. It'll be gone. It'll be too thin, and it'll break, and whatever. But it's real interesting. Oh, especially the vegetables. So fresh, out-of-the-garden vegetables, and you just put them right on that salt block. It takes like 10 minutes, well, for a zucchini, or, you know, that's all we've had on there so far. And they just are still a tiny bit crisp, and they're a little bit cooked, and they have just the slightest bit of salt on them. Man, delicious. And they're grilled, which I love that smoky grilled taste that you get when you grill food. That's why we grill here year round. You know, as often as we can, we're firing up the grill to cook meat. Oh, but I do want to tell you, this is awesome. We used the Sun Oven over the 4th of July because it was like, I have to close this window because we have light going on outside here. And it's starting to leak into the studio, which is okay. Not a problem. What was I saying? I was talking about food. I know that. Oh, the Sun Oven, man. This was so great. So on the 4th of July, it was like 90-something degrees, 95, 96, 97. Oh, yeah, it was 95 degrees on the 4th of July, and on the 5th of July, it was 97. So 2 days, it was really hot, and I was telling Rochelle, I was like, hey, you know, we can cook in the Sun Oven, and then we don't have to heat up the house. Because we don't have central air or anything. This is Oregon. I mean, and especially this part of Oregon, 45 miles away from the coast, we don't really ever get like hot and stay hot. Usually it cools off really nice at night. And really for the last like 2 weeks, it has been like fantastic temperatures. You know, 80s during the day, 50s at night. Even on those 2 days, it was 95 and 97. It cooled off really nice at night. Maybe 60, maybe 57, 56 at night, which made it really great for sleeping. But we were going to have steak and potatoes one night because it was just her and I. So we threw a steak on the grill and we put potatoes in the Sun Oven. And the potatoes got done in about the normal time. It was 350 degrees, which was fantastic. And anyway, so we had our meal cooked outside, didn't heat up the house at all, and that's all we had. I think maybe we had some vegetable, we had salad, with it. And then, what else did we do? Then the next day, on the 4th of July, so that was on the 5th. On the 4th of July, we did brats and hot dogs, grilled on the grill, and then we put them in beer and sauerkraut and onions, and we put that in the sun oven with the double stacking pans, enamelized pans that you can get for the sun oven. They fit perfectly in there. So in the lower pan, we put baked beans. In the upper pan, we had our brats. And and we had baked potato that we had made a day or two before. So, you know, we had like three meals this week made in the sun oven, and it worked really good. And when I made the... when we made the baked potatoes, I said something about Rochelle said something about the sun oven burning stuff. Does it burn stuff? I go, I don't think it'd be really hard to burn stuff in there because you mostly cook in these covered brats or like bratwurst or a summer sausage, not a summer sausage. They're a sausage that you grill. They're kind of real popular in the Midwest. I think it's short for bratwurst. Might be short for bratwurst. Johnsonville brats. Those are made in Wisconsin. Of course, they're probably the best in the country anyway. I know other people would argue, but... yeah, so it's like a big fat, you know, sausage dog instead of a hot dog. It's very common. It's a common game day food, like for baseball games or football games, or if you go to some of those parks, they'll always have brats for sale. So Rochelle was asking me about, you know, how if things burn in the sun oven. And I was like, well, I've heard that that you can't really burn stuff in the sun oven, but they did say you could burn cookies. But they'll burn perfectly evenly because there's no hot spot in the sun oven. It's the same temperature all over in the oven, which is true. Like, the whole oven is 300. There's no spot that's hotter than any other spot. So if things do burn, they burn perfectly evenly. But the funny thing is, she said cookies. You can do cookies in that thing? And I go, well, they say you can. So somebody whipped up some cookie dough. Hayden made some cookie dough, and we put some cookies in one of the pans that are made to cook in there, although you can use a cookie sheet too, but we just used a pan in this case, and man, it cooked them perfectly. It was amazing. So we had this delicious, you know, cooked meal with homemade chocolate chip cookies when we were done. But yeah, that was really cool, and that's one of the reasons I got that sun oven, was so that we could cook things in an oven outdoors in summertime and not heat up the house. And it worked perfectly, which is, I mean, I don't know why I'm amazed at what it's supposed to do. You know, and I'll tell you this, so especially this time of year, like you have a long stretch of time to cook, probably from about 10 a.m. to about 7 p.m. I mean, if you want intense heat, you want to be closer to 11 to 5, I think. But the sun oven has this little device that helps you point it at the sun so that you get the longest amount of direct sun into the oven, and that thing will get extremely hot if you keep it facing, but every half hour you got to go check because it takes about that long for this little device to, for the sun to get all the way across this device to till it starts getting not so direct sunlight, and then you'll reduce your heating. But it was over 300 degrees the whole time. The brats were literally boiling. The beer was boiling away. So, and there's no real way to turn it down either. There is. I mean, you can face it away from the sun, and it will cool down significantly. But it's just an awesome little device, man. I'm so happy I bought it. And another reason I bought it was in case there's no power and you want to cook. You have the sun oven. No devices, no solar panels. You just put the sun oven out, point it toward the sun, and cook. It's literally that easy. So that's been a fun experience so far doing that. Let's see. Let's move on into our notes for crying out loud. I have to talk about these two things. Does it fit into the homestead? I don't know. Yeah, I suppose I could stretch it to make it fit in the homestead. I think mainly I'm going to talk about these two things because I just want to point out how freaking stupid the mainstream media and the politicians and those, the World Economic Forum and all those people think that Americans are. Well, that the entire population of the earth is, as a matter of fact. And actually, there's a pretty good argument that we are flipping stupid. And the generations that have come after mine, and I'm not saying we're the smartest either. In fact, I could make a pretty good argument against that. Especially the way that we, in general, have acted since COVID or during COVID or reacted to the whole COVID fiasco. But, you know, public school system has started dumbing down students 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and started indoctrinating them into not being thinkers, not being critical thinkers at all, just feeding them information and not challenging them to go look for answers. So when I heard this thing earlier this week, I'm not kidding, my head almost snapped off, like literally almost snapped off, because I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And I listened several times to a number of different sources, entertainment shows that call themselves news outlets, on radio and on TV, because I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And I just wonder how many of you actually caught this. This bear is like sniffing my head. I know that sounds funny. When you see it on video, you'll actually understand it much better. So go check out Rumble and see this bear kind of checking my head out. Maybe I used the wrong shampoo. Oh, yeah, I don't have hair, so it's not that. What was I saying? Oh, this thing. This was the craziest. Okay, it seems like I say that a lot. Like every couple weeks I go, this is the stupidest thing that I've heard in my life. And here I am again. This is like the stupidest thing I've heard in my life so far. It'll get worse, I'm sure. In fact, there's two things I'm going to talk about that are the stupidest things I've heard in my life. Oh my God. So I don't know what day it was. Was it Wednesday or Thursday or Friday? One day this week. Oh, it had to have been Thursday. It was like 2 days ago. I hear this reporter literally say, today is the hottest day ever recorded on Earth. And I thought it was some kind of joke because I was like, okay, well, that's not true. So what's the punchline? And then they went on to describe how today was the hottest day on Earth, the hottest day the Earth has ever seen. Only very few reports said the hottest day ever recorded, because there's a little word play here. But you notice, if you heard the same thing I did, they didn't say, first of all, they should have said, well, since we've been recording the temperature of the entire Earth, this is the hottest day we've recorded. Okay? I mean, that would make a little more sense, although nowhere in the ballpark of being the hottest day the Earth has ever seen. But let's just say if we started recording temperatures 10 years ago And this happened to be the hottest day that we've recorded over those 10 years. Okay, we'll at least say that. But they didn't. And yeah, these probes or temperature sensors or who knows how in the hell they came to this conclusion. But the sensors haven't been in place since like 1979. So since 1979, now they could have said that. That would have been nice if they would have said, hey, so since we started measuring the global temperature in 1979, this is the hottest day we've ever seen. You know what? I don't give a rat's butt whether it was, you know, if it's 50 years or 10 years or 2,000 years, it doesn't matter. The Earth temperature changes. Listen to the couple stories I'm going to bring these up on the screen so you can see them. Well, if you look, oh, well, no, that's the wrong screen. Come over here. Copy. And let's go here. And we'll just let it take the place of the bear for a minute. No, we're not. Let's put it over here. Okay. This is even by NOAA. Right? It's actually by NOAA. I got to close this so I can see what's going on. Okay. It said, what's the hottest Earth's ever been? Let's see what it says. Wait, I have it in my notes, so I didn't have to read. Oh, no, I didn't. But anyway, so they go on to say that right after the Earth was formed, of course, it was formed from a, you know, like when the moon crashed into the Earth, I guess, was the hottest it's ever been, the Earth has ever been. Well, but you have to kind of imagine if the Earth was formed, you know, as part of the solar system and it was, you know, thrown off of the sun or however, formed from compressing gases or whatever, it was flipping thousands of degrees hot, okay? So at some point, look at this, it says the heat of these collisions, so over 4.54 billion year old planet probably experienced its hottest temperature in its earliest days when it was still colliding with other rocky debris careening around the solar system. The heat of these collisions would have kept Earth molten with top of the atmosphere temperatures upward of 3,600 degrees Fahrenheit. So don't tell me this was the hottest day on Earth. This is the hottest day the Earth has ever been. That's what they were saying, and I listened over and over for 2 days. I listened over and over, waiting for them to, you know, give us the punchline or to actually make themselves clear. But guess what? Here's the punchline. First of all, let's look at the temperature when the dinosaurs roamed the Earth. Let's see what it says for that one. An unbroken record of climate during the age of dinosaurs. And where in the hell was it? It was way down here. Yeah, right here. It says, so when the dinosaurs roamed the Earth, the Cretaceous period, they said the Earth was 5 to 10 degrees centigrade hotter than it is right now, and that sea levels were 50 to 100 meters higher than they are right now, and that there was virtually and probably no ice at the poles. This is an actual science, you know, journal that is saying this, and then NOAA said the other thing. This is actually from climate.gov. Believe it or not, climate.gov actually puts out that the Earth was hotter. And yet there's all this hype about global warming. This drove me so crazy. I literally went off I don't know how many times. Because people were talking about it. And I had to respond, like, stop it. So the real punchline is that people will actually believe this. people will actually just be like, oh, the hottest day that ever's been recorded on Earth was July 5th or July 6th or whatever day it was. And they'll just be like blindly freaking repeating this complete horse stuff. And that's the thing, man. So you would think somewhere in everybody's past, like somewhere along the line, somebody talked about the formation of the Earth and how it was formed, you know, the sun from a hot gas and how solar systems are formed and all that stuff. No. I don't know. It's like that it gets erased from their memory. Like, you know, oh, wait, today's the hottest day that's ever been recorded? Oh, my God, we're hotter than when the Earth was formed 4.5 billion years ago. Like, what happened to your brain? Well, I'll tell you what happened. Nobody is going to make you a critical thinker, you young people. You're going to have to do it yourselves. And you're not going to do it with Google sitting there in your hand. Although Google's helpful. I mean, I brought this stuff up from Google, if you believe Google. Oh, wait, of course I believe Google because I'm taking the Google cybersecurity certification course so I can be a cybersecurity something. Thank you, Google. Appreciate it. Appreciate you. But yeah, I mean, but you can find this stuff. The sad thing is that at some point, somebody's going to censor the entire internet and you won't find the truth anymore. You know, we could easily enter, like we've kind of gone through that phase recently with the COVID swindle, that, you know, the disinformation and misinformation, the flat out lies were coming from people who were supposedly telling the truth, and they were telling everybody that everything else was lies. And now we're actually seeing the complete opposite. I wanted to find this story. Oh, yeah, gene therapy. Well, how about this? This was one of the lies that was being told, that mRNA is not vaccine therapy. Well, guess what? This is the craziest damn thing. I'm gonna leave this title up so you guys can see it, and I'll read from my notes. So this is from the, I want to get this right, so I'm going to move down here. A paper published in the International Journal of Molecular Sciences. This isn't some, you know, government-produced crap from the CDC or the NIH or one of the, you know, this paper isn't owned by, well, it probably is owned by, you know, the BlackRock or whoever in part, but they actually do, you know, research and provide answers. You know, and actually present their findings. This is not a medical journal. It's an actual science journal, I say. Now that the pandemic has ended, researchers are urging regulatory agencies to consider the safety issues associated with the rapid approval of COVID-19 vaccines and to correctly classify messenger RNA vaccines as gene therapy to prevent pharmaceutical companies from bypassing regulatory standards. According to a paper published in the International Journal of Molecular Sciences on June 22nd, COVID-19 mRNA vaccines, by mode of action, are gene therapy products and should adhere to different regulatory standards. Yet U.S. and European regulatory agencies have not classified COVID-19 mRNA vaccines as gene therapy products, which has allowed them to be regulated as vaccines against infectious diseases instead of being subjected to the more stringent regulation of gene therapy products. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention currently defines a vaccine as a preparation used to stimulate the body's immune response against diseases. However, the agency's definition was changed in 2021 out of concern it didn't apply to COVID-19 vaccines. A vaccine must contain an antigen to trigger the body's natural immune response. Pfizer and Moderna's mRNA vaccines do not contain antigens. The active substance used to elicit an immune response in these vaccines is the mRNA, a form of nucleic acid and a genetic material of the SARS-CoV-2 virus that provides instructions to the body for producing antigens, the spike proteins. So yeah, you know, this stuff that I said 2 years ago, listen, this, the truth's going to come out when this is all said and done. They're not going to be able to sweep all of it under the rug. There's too many people out there doing research and producing, you know, truth that they're not going to be able to hide it. Yeah, they can, you can stand, when you have the power, which reminds me, go buy your guns and bullets, keep food on hand, you know, take care of yourselves, be ready. You know, if somebody is in power and they just stand up there and they present all these people and tell you, you know, that the sky is purple, and if you disagree, you're an idiot, well, the sky's purple because they say it is, and they'll force it on you. And that's why we need to have guns. That's why we have the Second Amendment, to prevent these people from ever going too far. God, I had so many thoughts right in there, man. About having the power and stuff. There was something else I was going to get to. Well, you know, just so the bottom line is, all of this stuff is going to come out. Oh, I'll tell you, I had a terrifying thought. I was listening to an interview yesterday and today of a guy who wrote a book. God dang, I should have written. Oh, Follow the Money. I think it's called Follow the Money. Should we do a quick search? We got time. Let's do a quick search. I just want to make sure I have this guy right. Follow the Money book. Oh, I should have put book. Book or author. Yeah, I think this is it. Let's just double check. No, that's not it. Which one of these? No. Dang it. I should have done this before I got on, but I wanted to share this idea with you. So this guy was talking about China and everything that goes on in China. And I mean, I've covered on my show a number of times some of the horrific things that China does. Like, I think a week or two ago, I was talking about how they are actually birthing human beings just to harvest their organs. Because, I mean, it's such a big business, and they don't care about human beings. The host asked this author, God dang, I wish I'd get his name. I'm not going to interrupt the show for it. Yeah, that's not the one. No, thank you, though. But the author spent a bunch of time in China, and he researched, you know, what was going on in China. No, this guy was much more independent journalist kind of guy. Thank you, though. Thanks for looking for me. I'll find it because I know exactly how to find it, but I kind of don't want to violate any copyright laws by going and looking for it. Although maybe I could do it on that screen because you guys aren't seeing that screen. Now, let me just get to my point. I get so distracted. Is that a shiny thing over there? Yep, it is. Okay, but this guy, the host asked this guy, hey, do you think it's ever going to change in China? Like, are the politics ever going to change in China? And the guy said, I don't ever see that happening because the Chinese people are unarmed. There is no way for them to rise up. Now, I mean, that's a silly thing to say, right? Because people, you know, guerrilla movements, they find a way, you know, to get arms in. He was saying the number one, the highest offense, criminal offense you can commit is in China is criticizing the government. And the punishment for that is capital punishment. And he said, this is kind of terrifying, man. I don't know if it's true. I didn't go there. I'm telling you, this is what the guy said and wrote in his book. So let's put the bear back on. Yeah, there you go. He's having a little soak in the middle of the river. So it's so if you criticize the government, this is what happens. They find out because they track everybody. You can't do anything on your phone, on your TV, in your house without them knowing about it. So they just come in with they have a van, a capital punishment van. They roll up to the house. They go in. They grab the person who criticized the government. They take him out, kill him in the van, give the body back to the family. Yeah. How are you ever going to, what are you going to do to come back from that kind of situation? There are literally a billion, more than a billion people in China. And they're all how China bought the world. Thank you, Michael William McCarthy. Follow the money, how China bought the world is the name of the book. Thank you so much for helping me out. Oh my God, you're a godsend. Yeah, man. So just imagine this. So you have part of this country, half, let's say, that wants to take your guns away because they say you don't need them. You don't need guns. You know, that's what they told every country who's had their guns taken away. We're told that they don't need their guns because the government's going to take care of them. The government's going to protect them. You know, the government's going to provide protection. The military's going to be there. And then what happens, man? So nobody has any defense and crooks take over. They'll take advantage of you. You know, I hate to say it, but, you know, you're caught without a gun. You're caught without some kind of defense. You're in trouble. If the bad guy has bigger guns or weapons than you do, you're in trouble. You're basically going to have to do whatever that guy says, or girl, whatever. By the way, this might be a little controversial. Yeah, sure, it could be. So I'm seeing these shootings this week, these mass shootings, you know, the hysteria. Another mass shooting this week. Another mass shooting at a house party this week. And I'm thinking to myself, no, wait a minute. This is not making sense. Like, they don't have suspects, right? There was, I think, a shooting in Philadelphia, and there were so many rounds that they don't even know how many guns were used. And so I'm thinking to myself, so what kind of a freaking house party are you having where all of a sudden, I know what kind of house party you're having, where all of a sudden a bunch of guns get drawn and shootings take place. Here's my point. You really should judge people. You really should. God gave you intuition for a reason. Or for those of you who are atheist, agnostic, or whatever, you have intuition for a reason. To discern what is life-threatening for you and what isn't. What is a danger to you and what isn't. And the problem is now, you know, you have people like, who in the hell, like, number one, I know things happen after dark and after midnight that you just, you know, I just tell myself all the time when I see these things happen, not necessarily mass shootings, but other crimes that happen at 2 o'clock in the morning, wherever. And I'm like, why were you out at 2 o'clock in the morning? Seriously. Okay, yeah, it's your right to go out at 2 o'clock in the morning. Is it smart? Probably not. Like, are you getting drunk in a bar and then, you know, you're altered, you're not in charge of yourself or your senses or your abilities, and you can be taken advantage of very easily? Like, using some discernment is a great idea. It will help you survive. So of all these mass shootings that have taken place at house parties, I'm thinking to myself, it'd probably be a good idea not to go to a house party that you don't know every single person at that house party somewhat well. And yeah, probably occasionally there's a mass shooting at a house party where the suspect is an absolute stranger. That could be. I don't think it is. I think that's probably really rare. I think these house parties are, you know, just gathering of people who are probably going to have some issues, people that don't see eye to eye, big gatherings of who knows what. And stuff happens. In some ways, I got to say, I'm glad people at that one shooting had guns. I'm glad they had guns. I'm glad somebody returned fire. I'm glad everybody started shooting. I'm not glad anybody got hurt. I'm glad that somebody didn't just go through their execution style and kill every single person at that house party that they didn't like. So good on them for having arms, which kind of makes me wonder, well, did they know that they were going to a house party where there was going to be that possibility of trouble, so everybody had their weapons on them? But anyway, bottom line is good. I don't care. Honestly, I don't care. I'm glad they had guns. I'm glad somebody had a gun to defend themselves. I am, 100%. The more the merrier, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not kidding. I want to get to the second stupidest thing I heard this week, although it could be first. I'm just saying, both of the stupidest things I heard this week are extremely stupid. Especially if you put any thought into it whatsoever. Let me go back to my notes here. I don't really need my notes to talk about it. I just need my notes. Hang on. I got to turn my mic off. Sorry. I don't know why I need my notes. I guess to see where I am so I know how much further I got. 10 minutes. Okay, I'm on it. Thank you. Okay. So for all of the people who are not critical thinkers, I just want to talk through this second most ridiculous thing I heard. Wait, what was the first? Oh, yeah, the hottest day. The hottest day on Earth. The hottest day the Earth has ever felt. Which was 100% bullshit. Everybody with any kind of knowledge or background of solar, everybody knows that's not true. But it was being sold, and it'll probably continue. Wait till the next hottest day on Earth. Going to be the same thing. But here's the next big one, which 10 minutes ought to just about do it. Cocaine in the White House. You literally have got to be a complete effing idiot to believe that they don't know whose cocaine that is. Let's just back up about 2.5 years to the insurrection, supposedly, which looked like an awesome party to me. You know, during the insurrection, they tracked every single cell phone within I don't know how many miles of the White House. But you can ask some of the people who were arrested and tried and convicted of insurrection because the government could find everybody. They went and found everybody who they thought had a cell phone and a purpose to be at the White House, which didn't fit their agenda. Now, number one, just keep that in mind. They had all the data. I can guarantee you they have all the data for that cocaine that was found in the White House. Literal, think about this, white powder, much like anthrax, found in the frickin' White House. And they want to stand up in front of the world and God and everybody else and tell you they don't know how it got there. Just think of how security changed after the insurrection. Just think of Nancy Pelosi, you know, putting up the walls for I don't know how long, you know, and the fences around the White House because we're terrified of an insurrection. You know, and increased security measures going in and out of the White House because of the insurrection. And they don't know where this bag of white powder came from that got in the White House. The White House, the president's residence, the president of the United States in the White House. They don't know how cocaine just got dropped there in the cubby or wherever it was. You literally, if you don't know that all of those entities think you're an idiot, then you're an idiot. They want you to buy this idea that they don't know who's... And I'm not going to say. Everybody has an idea of who they think this cocaine belongs to. The bottom line is, they know who in the hell the cocaine belongs to. If they don't, it would take literally 24 to 48 hours to figure it out. You telling me they're letting people walk in and out of the White House without being searched? Hell, right here in Sheridan, little tiny town of Sheridan with 5,000 people in it, right across the valley there in Sheridan proper is the federal prison. They have a sniffer before you go into the federal prison that sniffs drugs on you. They can pick up traces of meth and coke and whatever, on LSD, mushrooms, marijuana, whatever, can pick up that scent off of your clothes, off of your body, you know, just off of your person. You don't think they have that at the White House? I mean, that's the Department of Justice, the Federal Correction Center, right across the valley here, just down the hill from me. They have the technology to x-ray people, x-ray things. They have the boss chair. So you sit in the boss chair and it like scans your rectum and your intestines to see if you've stuffed anything in there. And then the drug sniffer, and then they can pat you down. But you're telling me that somehow some doofus walked right in the freaking White House and dropped their cocaine on the floor? Drop their cocaine in the cubby, in the closet. What, are you effing kidding me? Stop it. Some of us are not stupid. Some of us still think critically. And actually, I think there's a lot of us left who think critically, and we're trying to teach our kids and grandkids to also think critically. Don't just buy into this stuff, man. You could be taken advantage of so easily by not being able to use your own brain to figure things out, to at least challenge things, test things, like literally physically test things yourself and see if they work or don't work. you know, without killing yourself, hopefully. I mean, that's how a lot of us learned stuff growing up, and now it's like that no longer exists. People, and you know, with this whole Neuralink thing and, you know, the stuff that's going on with AI, they just want to plug probes in your brain and force information and memories and whatever, force it into your brain. It's terrifying in a way. I don't know how it's ever going to work out, honestly. Yeah, it's interesting, though. And I'm telling you, so am I going to be surprised next week, 2 weeks from now, when I say, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life? Oh, look, the bear thinks I'm... Oh, he's going night-night. Oh, little bear. You're a good boy. Where are you? I'll just scratch your chin. Oh, go night-night, bear. Oh, my God, you guys. Okay, so what did I really want to talk about tonight? Hey, I did kind of just want to talk about, you know, the food that we're harvesting here. Great to have fresh food. Just imagine how much better. I had a story that I was going to talk about that I mentioned last week also about aluminum and how toxic it is to humans. And how to get it out of your body. It's actually harder to get out of your body than you think it is. The thing is, I don't really have time to talk about that now. I'll try and put it higher up in the notes for next week because I think it's important. But what I really felt was important is, you know, just by taking some steps to produce more of your own food, to have more control of where your food is coming from. Like right now, this time of year is a great time of year. If you didn't grow your own food, go to the farmers markets, man. Make that a weekly stop and stock up on fresh veggies, you know, for the week. Get some stuff that came right from the ground from people who aren't using a bunch of freaking chemicals to make their, you know, veggies grow. And, you know, eat some nice, healthy vegetables. That's one thing that will help clear aluminum out of your system. Now, there's some vegetables that do it better than others and stuff like that. And there's a reason why I'm telling you about aluminum. Oh, I think I got one more thing. Yeah, we got like a minute. I'm going to make this quick. This was the funniest thing. My hygienist gave me a tube of toothpaste. She ordered it because it was a promotional thing. The company wanted to get this toothpaste out to everybody, so they give it to dental professionals, and then she, you know, so she ordered ordered it up and handed it out to us in the office, and I look at it, and on the label it says foaming toothpaste, and I was like, that's kind of funny, because I don't know about you guys, like I brush my teeth for 2 minutes every time I brush, 2 minutes or more. And every time I brush, my toothpaste has foamed ever since I was a kid. So why now they're calling it foaming toothpaste? It's just a thing. It's anyway, I got to go. You guys catch Hal Anthony tomorrow behind the woodshed, 3 p.m. Eastern time, every Sunday, 2 hours, completely packed full information. Catch me Wednesday and Saturday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern. Thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you next time.